Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Earlier we had talked about, you know, athletes making a difference, and our next guest, Chris Kurd, who played receiver for Pitt. I guess he was known as the other receiver on the other side of Larry Fitz. Or was it Antonio Bryant, Chris? It was Larry Fitz, right? That you.
I mean, listen, it all depends on who you ask, what generation of Pitt football they like to follow. I guess I had the fortunate and unfortunate privilege of being in the receiver room with both those guys. So, you know.
Oh, right. So again, you were the other guy on the other side of two Biletnikoff winners, right?
Yes, very much.
And
so.
If it wouldn't have been for the those two, you would have won a Biletnikoff during your career, right?
I definitely would have caught a few more balls. That's for doggone sure.
Well, Chris, always good to catch up with you. Always good to find out what you're working on and what you're doing. And we actually have done a show tonight talking a lot about different athletes who are making a difference. And, of course, you and I had been talking for a couple of weeks about this whole thing with the City League the academic standards in the City League and trying to find a way to keep kids engaged in sports by not having them immediately removed from teams when their grades fall behind below a certain level. Why don't you, sort of talk to us a little bit, bring us up to speed and what, some of the things that you've worked on to try and help this effort.
Definitely, man. First and foremost, hats off to you, Paul, for real, for just kind of giving me the opportunity to come and speak on this platform. Always appreciate it. I always appreciate the fact that you and other guys over at 97 Fan kind of provide this platform for different, kind of off-the-cuff issues that are going on that relate to sports and relate exclusively to Pittsburgh community. I think that's awesome. So thank you guys for kind of giving me the time to even talk about this. To bring you up to speed and kind of bring everyone up to speed, essentially the PIAA sets state standards for academic eligibility, but they leave it up to every school district, public and private, to more or less determine what their eligibility standards are going to be and what that punishment is after the fact if a student-athlete falls beneath it. Now, the WPIAL, pretty much their rules have been the same for decades, and that's predominantly most of Western Pennsylvania, which a lot of people that are kind of followers of high school sports but really don't understand the ins and outs, many people don't understand that the City League is its own isolated section or district within the state of Pennsylvania. So they are not considered part of the WPIL. They are the City League. They are their own district, the District 8. So the City League is very self-contained, and they have their own eligibility rules. Now, back when I was coming out of high school, and many of the guys that played with me at Pitt, Rod Rutherford, Rob Butler, Darrell Weston, a lot of those guys that played, Kevin Barlow, they were under a different set of academic eligibility rules where they were very much in line with what the WPIAL is. Where essentially, if a student athlete is somewhere in the range of around a 1.8, 2.0 GPA, for the most part, the WPIAL has changed the language around it. A lot of it more so caters to just quote unquote passing grades, then they are eligible to be a participant in whatever their sport actually is. When they fall beneath that, then it becomes a week to week thing. Now, for the City League up until this point, what was going on is the following. Once they fell beneath 2.0, student-athletes were removed from all sports during that grading period. Now, the challenge with this is that's a nine-week stretch. So basically, if you're a kid who, this spring, for instance, if you fall below a 2.0 at the end of this spring, going into next fall, so fall 2020, you already know you're out for the first 9 weeks of the school year, meaning pretty much all football season or soccer season or golf season or whatever is involved in the fall. And any chance that any coach would have working out with you over the summertime, that's gone. And so the punitive punishment that's kind of been in play for the last 15 years has been very detrimental to the City League. It's been pretty bad. I mean, and you ask anybody from a coaching standpoint, from a student-athlete standpoint, there's a lot of things that have taken place, whether it be kids leaving the City League, going to different schools, or kids just not being able to play altogether. And this is not just for student athletes. This is also for band members and students that are also in drama and play.
Well, I guess the question I'd have for you, Chris, is so now what you're saying is instead of dropping out for 9 weeks, they don't have to necessarily drop out. They just go to an academic intervention program.
Correct. And so what we did is I got together with a group of current and former coaches that were within the City League and people just that more or less care, that are former student athletes and former players within the City League that want to see the City League become really what it once was, but also better, not only just both on the field and on the court, but also off the court. And part of that process is going to be, for the most part, giving kids an opportunity to still be actively engaged and play. Part of that process is the GPA standard was being proposed, and this was proposed last month in the Pittsburgh Public School Board meeting with the policy committee. They proposed that the GPA standard be reduced some for the first year, and then it'd be on a sliding scale going up. But the most important thing is instead of kids being removed from their sport or their activity, they're allowed to stay engaged, and they receive academic intervention help as long as they agree to do it. And that's what it's really all about. I mean, Paul, you and I both know, you know, your son played at Pitt. The amount of services that are available to athletes at the collegiate level is far and away different than what it is at the high school level. But also in that same breath, many high schools, you know, in different districts have some kind of services. If they're volunteer parents, it's someone that's, you know, just an extra set of ears and eyes that are helping kids get through the process of academics, and right now in the City League, that's not happening. It's not. And what we want to do is help garner as much support behind this as possible. The last public hearing meeting was about 2 weeks ago. We had over 22 individuals write in letters of testimony before the school board. So the positive thing is the school board members, for the most part, seem to be very encouraging and positive and optimistic about it, but we'll know for sure at the end of this month on June 24th. Is one they're going to actually do the vote. And the great thing, this will be retroactive. This is going to go back. So this will go into effect not just, you know, from the moment of being voted in. It will affect every kid for this school year. So if you've got a kid now, let's say he's, you know, he or she's 1.7 or 1.9 GPA at the end of this semester, and they're going into their senior year, before that point, they would be saying to themselves, I have no chance of playing. Now they're back in the game. And even if all it is for one more season, high school sports, the amount of positivity that I could do for that kid, for the person in that building, could be immense.
Yeah, and I think Chris, that's the larger issue to me. That I think there are going to be people listening to this and say 1.8, 1.7, what are they doing? But you know, there we can get into a whole different discussion about some of the challenges right. That go on with, you know, with some of the city schools and some of the, you know, some of the neighborhoods and just some of the things that you know contribute to some of the challenges that these kids face. But the most important thing to me is, if a kid is in, for instance, the football program or the soccer program or whatever, you know, they are at least asking for some level of discipline and structure in their life. And to me, that's something we should encourage, because ultimately we can help them bring their grades up if, you know, this is what they really want to do.
Right. And the one thing, and I mean, look, Paul, I don't have to tell you, your profession is sports. And reporting on this, and me being a former athlete, and quite frankly, anybody that's involved in any sort of athletics will tell you that the power of sports goes so far beyond any sort of diamond, court or field. Athletes by nature, especially at the high school level, are natural leaders within the walls of that school, whatever that school is. I don't care if it's in an urban environment. I don't care if it's rural. I don't care if it's a wealthy suburb. It doesn't matter. They are natural leaders. People will gravitate towards them. And the thing that this has the ability to do, it's not just about putting more kids into an athletic event. It's about changing the outcomes. It's about improving school attendance. It's about improving academic achievement. It's about improving the positive outlook and perspective and the rich tradition and history of the city league. I mean, I've often had people ask me flat out, like, oh, well, you must be from here. Which high school did you go to? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio. I'm not from there. I'm just a guy, like, literally, I'm just a guy that remembers vividly, you know, my freshman year when Rod took me to this is Rod Rutherford, you know, my quarterback. He took me to a high school game over at South Stadium or a couple stadiums. And, you know, football's big in Ohio. And I noticed, like, playing in front of a big crowd. But, man, you're talking about 99, 2000. I'd never seen a high school crowd like that in my entire life. And that's always just kind of been seared in my mind. And to see it decline over the years, but know that the quality of play and the quality of coaching is there, yet just the additional assistance, the kind of little guide rails, they're not. And this is a starting point. You know, this isn't gonna cure everything. It won't. But what it will do is turn the faucet back on and really give a huge, much-needed opportunity for a lot of kids in the city and for a lot of hardworking coaches, quite frankly.
No, yeah, and I think that, you know, again, it's a really good cause, and I know that you're involved too with the kids and the youth with the flag football. You're still doing all that stuff. Oh, obviously, it's on hold right now,
yeah.
But that's still a part of what you do too, right?
Oh my God, yeah. So I mean, and hats off to all the volunteers and, you know, the referees and the guys and the writers who've worked with me over the years, kind of building the Pittsburgh Flag Football League. This is our 11th year doing it. And last year, so we had a, you know, kind of an anniversary, and it was nice. And we've been very fortunate to start to pull kids from every community. And this year was going to be a great year. You're talking about, we were looking at having roughly about 350 kids participate in the spring. And the coronavirus broke out. And so it became a major, major issue. And this was literally the weekend of when we were supposed to start. And it's kind of put everything on ice right now. And I'm kind of one of those ones who've been extremely optimistic. Oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Holding out. And then we just last week, I kind of made the decision. I said, look, we're just going to pull the plug and, you know, just credit everybody for the fall or upcoming spring season. A lot of broken hearts out there. But what I don't want to do is kind of mortgage the future on a potential color phase change in Allegheny County for next week or the week after. And then also, too, I mean, look, the bottom line is this. Even if we were allowed to have field access to city fields and school-owned property buildings and different things, would every single parent that signed up bring their kid out? You know, that's a realistic thing you got to think about. And then is it still the same experience as it's always been? You know, the good news is, you know, I got on board with a national coalition called the Youth Sports Coalition probably about 3 weeks ago, and it's an effort essentially of large leagues of all kinds of different youth sports, essentially to lobby the Congress and the Senate, you know, to kind of have some degree of services and relief added into the next stimulus package. So, you know, I was fortunate enough, I was to be on the news earlier today with TAE and talk about that, because quite frankly, you know, Governor Wolf has done a fantastic job with setting standards for what, you know, the state should be doing rolling out. And he and Senator Toomey were really some of the first movers to start to say, look, we got to look at youth sports under a different umbrella than, say, you know, the Pirates or the Steelers. Like, this is different. 20,000 people aren't showing up for an AAU basketball game, okay? 5,000 people aren't showing up for flag football on the south side. I mean, great, they did. I mean, that would be fabulous. We do well at the concession stand. But that's not going to happen. So it's kind of like, all right, what do we have to do to set standards? And they've recently put those standards out. And, you know, it's all touch and go. Everyone's going to still work for it. I think it's going to do well for Little League Baseball this summer. And that was another big thing that, you know, we really wanted to kind of factor in with the 300-plus kids that are playing in our flag football league. Many of them are from up north and participate in a few different baseball associations. And I know those guys are hungry to kind of get things going. And the reality is many of the baseball associations here in Pittsburgh, and rightfully so, are going to try to salvage and shove as many games into possible in the next 2 months. The last thing I want is some kid having to make a choice between flag football and baseball, or some parent being like, we're going to do all three today. And I don't want that.
Well, hey, hopefully it won't be that long. We'll be able to have you, back in studio again like we did, and take a whole hour talking to you about a lot of different things. But, Chris, I appreciate it, man, and good Absolutely, luck in man. Your endeavors. We'll do it soon.
Oh, thanks a lot again. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep, that's Chris Curd, from a former Pitt Panther receiver, a guy who's done a hell of a lot of stuff in a community that, again, he didn't even grow up here, but he stayed here after college and has just really been a big asset to our community. We coming back, we're going to tell our weekly 940 Friday segment with Rich Walsh from KDK. We'll talk about what we're going to talk about on TV in a little bit, and also we'll hear about the big golf match between him and Pompiani, but we'll do that later. We'll do that next. It's the Paul Zeiss Show on 93.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.